Good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. How many's been enjoying the words of Jesus? How many who see how important it is? I tell you, it's so important that we follow. He's our rabbi. We should do everything he said and everything he did. We should mimic that. I tell you, studying it, I get so full of joy going through it and looking at it and seeing it, because I see how important it is to be doing it, to be studying it, and to apply it to my life. And this thing ain't doing right again. All right. You know, I want to thank y'all for coming out. Thank y'all for your commitment, because it takes a commitment to come out on a Saturday. You know, it's not that it's not easy, but it's just, you know, when you tell them, like just the other day at work, you know, explain to somebody we have church on Saturdays and Sundays, like, well, y'all do church on a Saturday night. It's a shock to some people. It's like, you know, that's not normal. They do it Sunday morning and that's it. You know, it's not normal that you go to church on a Saturday night, but the Father honors commitment like that, you know, and that's what he wants. He wants total commitment from us. And, you know, it feels good sometimes when you're getting that crazy look like, man, on a Saturday? Yeah, on a Saturday. We going on a Saturday. But we have John 6:663 in the text. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And, oh, you don't have it? Huh? I sent it down.
They don't need to have it. You do it.
Oh. I'm going to get this before... All right. Perfect. Thank you, Pastor, again. All right. Again, John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life and the flesh profits nothing. You know, we were just talking about this at prayer and Bible study by Sister Gloria House, how the scriptures, they flow together when you just leave it alone. We just got out of the Galatians series, and the Galatians series talked about this very thing, about flesh and spirit. And this is the words of Jesus saying that the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit is the spirit who gives life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And this, I have to, I talked about this a couple Saturdays ago. I did the first Saturday. And Pastor did last Saturday, but so I had to go back and I had to make a correction on this because I misquoted something, and it was this Genesis 3:3. You know, this is they having the conversation between Eve and the serpent, and she's telling them, you know, about the tree that she couldn't touch. And she said, Elohim has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. And it's true. You know, I went back to that second Genesis 2, and I say, you know, here she had misquoted for some reason. Well, you had to touch it in order to take of it. But, you know, it says that sin, when she ate it, it was sin. But as soon as she touched it, it was sin. Because she was already committed. By touching it, she was already fully committed. And somebody brought it to my attention, so I said, okay, well, let's go back. I had to go back and talk to Pastor about it, and he was like, yeah, he had did a little study on it, and he said, well, you go ahead and get your, you do it, you make the adjustment, you know, because you're going to misquote things a bunch of times. He said, I've did it a bunch of times, and you just have to, you know, go back and say, look, all right, I misquoted something. So I just wanted to touch base on that she had to have touched it in order to partake of it. So it's not that she didn't misquote it. God probably told her, and it just wasn't put in the scripture. You know, he probably did tell her, you don't touch it unless you die. So I just wanted to make that correction that she had to have touched it to eat it. And that's where sin came when she first touched it, because she was committed to. It was all in by that time. When you touch it, she was all in to eat it. She had to. So we start in Matthew 4. Whoa. Matthew 4, 1 through 2. You see where Pastor stopped off in that verse 7, but I just want to back up a little bit. Because something I was just looking at, when you read that Matthew, Mark, and Luke account, and, you know, some people might not see it, but I think all of us here know that when Yeshua was led up in the Spirit, up of the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. If reading that, if you kind of don't take your time, you think that he fasted 40 days and then he was tempted. But if you read that Mark account, which I highlighted Mark and Luke, every day he was being tempted. From day one, it wasn't 40 days he fasted and then he became hungry and started being tempted. No, from the very first time he was led up to the wilderness. And you've seen that in this, and you're going to see this in this Mark and Luke. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days he was tempted. And in Luke 4, that 1 and 2, it says, and Yeshua, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. So, like I said, from day one, he was being tempted. It wasn't just, you know, he was there already 40 days and fasting and praying, and then he came hungry and he tempted him. No, from the very first beginning, he was being tempted. And, you know, that's life that he lived right there in that. What a story, you know, from for every day being tempted, and how he quoted the Torah. How important is the Torah to us? That's that right there ought to tell us how important that the going to the Torah and going back to studying the whole thing out, that was definitely a game changer in our walk here, you know, with the Father. And in Matthew 4, 5 through 7, it says, the devil take him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the son of Yahweh. Now we notice something right here. The first two tempts, it was doubt. If thou art the son of God. Because, you know, as soon as after he was baptized, it says the heavens opened up and that voice said, this is my beloved son. So the first two times he tempted him, he was giving him doubt. He says, and said to him, if thou be the son of Yahweh, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And this is where we left off. And Yeshua said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. And we've seen that comes from Deuteronomy 6:16. Ye shall not tempt Yahweh your Elohim as ye tempt him in Massa. And let's see what he's talking about right there when he says, and in Massa that he was being tempted. And we've seen that in Exodus 17:1-7. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of Yahweh, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt Yahweh? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? All what he just did for them in Egypt with the plagues and the darkness and the put the blood over the post because I'm going to smite every firstborn. They just forgot that quick of his powerful hand that just took them out of there. They complaining. And Moses cried unto Yahweh, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And Yahweh said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Hor, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Merib, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted Yahweh, saying, "Is Yahweh among us or not?" Wow. Is he among us? Or are they serious? He's been among y'all since day one. He just took you from out of bondage for 430 years. He just took you out of bondage, and they still wondering if he's with us. Is he with us or not? Sometimes we get in those complaining stage. Is he with us or not? We want it when we want it. Remember that, huh? We want it when we want it. Your bills get a little late, or you got a kid that's sick, and you're wondering if he's with you or not. No difference from them back then. Numbers 20:13, "This is the water of Merib, because the children of Israel strove with Yahweh, and he was sanctified in them." So that's what he's talking about when he made that statement in Deuteronomy 6. Hebrews 3:1-19. And look, this passage here, I tell you, man, it's a shouting one. It really is. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession," our acknowledgement. We're acknowledging him that Messiah Yeshua is our high priest and our apostle, "who was faithful to him that appointed him." Who he was faithful to? He was faithful to the Father who appointed him. "As also Moses was faithful in all his house." "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house." Listen to verse 4. "But every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is Elohim." He that built all things is Elohim. "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Messiah, as a son over his own house," look at that, "whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." How long we got to hold fast? Till the end. What the scripture says, "He that endured till the end shall be saved." "Wherefore the Holy Spirit said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempt me, prove me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." And that is to roam from safety, truth, or virtues, to go astray, deceive, seduce, wander, be out of the way. That's a dangerous place. That's a place we don't want to be. When you out of the way of the Father, man, that's trouble. You talking about a lot of heartaches, a lot of pain, a lot of misguidance. Just what they did right here. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. This is to us. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Elohim. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We are made partakers of Messiah if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We have a job to exhort one another, to make sure that when we see one of our brothers or sisters going in error, hey, look, what's going on? Let's talk. Let's get this right. We don't want to have that hardened heart. We've seen what hardened heart does. We just seen it in the Torah with Pharaoh. We don't want to get in that spot. We don't want to get in that position. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. It was only some of them, and we've seen that some. It tells us how many. You know, they had an age on them. It says 20 and above that he was going to... I'm getting ahead of myself. That's for the carcasses. Right here. That was right there. But with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Like I said, then it was, you know, he put a time. He said, from those 20 on up, that's the ones they're going to die right here. They will not see the promised land. And, you know, he says, why 20? What's so significant about 20? Because in Hebrew, that was the age where they get to go into the military. And, you know, they get to also hold priestly duties. So he said, he only did two. He only kept two out of that at that age, Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they was faithful. They faithful and they devotion to the Father. He says, and to whom swear he that day should not enter into the rest, his rest, but to them that believe it not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And let's not kid ourselves. We're not going to enter if we got unbelief. Just like he said to them, we ain't no different. He's the same God as he was back then is the same one today. He never changes. So we're not excluded from this. Matthew 4, 8 and 11. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So now, when I see this, I see that I think he overstepped his boundary. He can deal with it, you trying to place doubt in me. But when you're trying to take the glory that belongs to my Father and him only shall ye serve, he says, I think he drew the line. He drew the line in the sand right there. Because look what he said. Right in verse 10, he says, and then said Yahweh unto him, get thee hence, Satan. That was it. No more. We done. You done really stepped. Like I said, you done stepped over that boundary. You can command these. You can hit me with the hunger and the other one that you doubt and that you try to the other doubt. But when you said for me to worship you, that's now we ready. Now you got to stop. It says, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Deuteronomy 6:13, thou shalt fear Yahweh thy Elohim, and serve him only, and shall swear by his name. You know, He tempts us like that, the same way. He used the same lies he did back then. You know, he'll tempt us like if we're going through something. Well, if you're a child of God, why he ain't showing up for you? If you're a daughter, if you're a son, where he's at? Where he's at? Why he's not with you? Why are you going through it? Look at the world. The world ain't going through, and you're a believer. You're a believer going through this stuff. You know, that's the kind of stuff. But we got to be just like following our Messiah, following our rabbi. Do just what he did. That's why it's so important for the Torah. Because he quoted scripture. It is written. That's what we need to be defeating him with. It is written. Understanding the words of Jesus is so important. So important that we mimic his life. Do exactly what he did. He was successful. You say, well, he died. And he rose in 3 days. We're going to die. But our hope, what's our hope? He says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's exciting to me. Yeah, I'm going to die. He did too. But the scripture said in 3 days, we just sang that song. That hope lived it and death couldn't, the last end of it, all that good. That was good. That was good. I can't remember. It's, you know, it's going to take a couple services to remember. But it said our hope lived it. Our hope raised it. That's powerful. Satan is always seeking Yahweh's worship. That's how he steals Elohim's glory and praise. But Yahweh said, Isaiah 42:8, I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And we're going to see that a little further down in the message about the graven images. You know, this Moses, we don't know what became of him. Some people say that about us. Brother Scott told me one time, somebody, family member or whatever, saying, some people in Faith Temple, the devil and God in them. Really? I didn't know keeping Torah and doing feast days, you know, that just because you're doing that, the devil gets in you. That's, you know, people say crazy things like that. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Will not give my glory to another. And he's serious. He means it. Yahweh's glory will not be shared. Yahweh's glory must be praised. I don't know if y'all noticed that, but I took that out of When You Look Into My Glory series. Oh, the scripture just, it flows. It flows together. When we just leave it. Satan was tempting Yeshua to save the world in an easier, far less humiliating way than death on the cross. Satan was offering Yeshua a quick fix. If Yeshua would just bow down to Satan, he would not have to go through the severe beating and blood loss, the crown of thorns, and his head being, crown of thorns on his head, being nailed to the cross as a common criminal. Common criminal means that's what they did. They was known to do that to the criminals. Being ridiculed and abused by Roman soldiers for their derision and mockery of the crowd, Yeshua would not have to die. And look, following him, that's what we go through. We go through ridicule. Abuse. We might not be physically, but when somebody says things about you, it's mentally. They mentally abuse you. And Yeshua went through both of them, physically and mentally. You know, being accused is not, it bothers you sometimes when people say wrong things about you when you know you're doing right. And Yeshua never bowed down to it. Yeshua would not have to die. But the price for Yeshua would be to sell his soul and calling to the devil and lose the authority to save the world. It would appear to be a benefit for the short term, but in the long term, it would become a complete failure. This is the same temptation that Satan uses with many Christians today who believe in the secret rapture. Their pastors tell them they won't have to die for Christ or even suffer persecution. Listen, church family, you're not going to hear it from Pastor, and you're not going to hear it from Pastor Josh, and you're not going to hear it from the other ministers. We going to suffer persecution. We're not going to lie to y'all and tell y'all that you're not. We're going to suffer. It's just, that's what the scripture says. We're going to go through it. The secret rapture will save them from all that. And when those left on earth are suffering terribly, those who have been raptured will be in heaven having a party. Yeah. Huh? Having a party while we down here being suffer terribly. What a sad thing for pastors to be misleading their people. That's to think that they're not going to go through stuff. Yeshua went through it. What makes us think we're not going to go through it? Exodus 32, 1 through 4. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us mighty ones, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy mighty ones, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Wow. Boy, can you see how far they done drifted? These be the mighty ones? This golden image thing, calf that he done craved with a knife, that's what just took you out of the land of Egypt? Man, wow. They forgot that quick that it was that unblemished lamb. Put that blood. Cover up them graven images that their gods that was engraved on the doorposts. Cover that with that blood. We just learned that in Bible study Thursday. Cover that with that blood because that's what's going to get y'all out. That's a distinction, I'm going to show you, that the gods, if you don't cover that name up with that blood, let's see if the firstborn is going to stay alive. What happened? You didn't cover with the blood? Every firstborn, down to your cattle, down to your livestock. And here they're going to quote this, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Man, you just wonder how people, even like today, what people think. They forget God. They forget the one who created everything. Unfortunately, Satan's temptations are now so subtle, they have fooled nearly everyone in the Christian church today. Christians do not understand they are worshiping idols just because their idols are not made of stone or wood. Think about that. It ain't got to be stone or wood. Where your worship is going? What are you doing on a Sunday morning? What you doing on a Saturday? Or a Thursday for Bible study or prayer? An idol is something that you put before him that's taking the place of him. TV, anything could be an idol. It doesn't have to be something made of stone or wood. Romans 1, 16 through 23. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Messiah. For it is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of Elohim revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and uprightness of men who hold the truth in uprightness. Because that which may be known of Elohim is manifested in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them. And let me give you a couple examples of men who hold the truth in uprightness. America calls Las Vegas the sin city. They know without a doubt that they are sinning. They admit it boldly and without apology. Know without a doubt. And you got this, our America, Las Vegas, Sin City. That's men who hold the truth. They know the truth. And they hold it with uprightness. And I wasn't even going to put the laws, because I was just reading different articles. As you study, and you come across stuff like that. And then I was sitting in the restaurant this morning, and something came on the news about that, and they had another guy that was sitting there by the table with me, and he's like, you know, I went over there, me and my wife on a vacation, and we go back to the room, and she goes upstairs, go to bed, she tells me, don't go outside after, dark, when it gets late. He said, so me curious, I want to go outside and see what it is, see what's about. Because he had never been, but she had been, so she knew. He said, man, as soon as I go outside to smoke a cigarette, he said, the women come up, they got cards made. And I mean, when I mean women, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about women that do what they do. That's their profession. Card was handing him cards with their number on them. Call me. He's like, I was like, wow. That's holding the truth. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. I mean, that's just what it is. The scripture plainly talks about that. In San Francisco in 2005, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride parade. And they had a picture of one of the floats. It says, putting out the fires of hell on a float. Putting out the fires of hell. Just put snubbing their nose up that guy. This is us. This is what we're doing. Like it or not, God, it don't matter. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. They had one with a woman holding a shirt, smiling. Big old smile on her face. I just had an abortion. Wow. You wouldn't be smiling holding that shirt if you didn't know that that wasn't a sin against God. You know that's a sin against God. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. A woman smiled. A young girl, I guess she, maybe early 20s or whatever, she looked around that age. A man's shirt had a shirt. Another picture come up, a man having a shirt on, says unsaved with a big explanation point. Proud of it. Unsaved. Talking about our America. Our America, right here. Our America snub our noses at God and brags about our sins. Sin is a serious matter with God. We got TV shows that support and joke about homosexuality, adultery, and every sexual sin imaginable. But what God says about that? And I didn't, in Proverbs 14:9, I didn't put no slide up. It's two of them. Proverbs 14:9 and Hosea 4:6. Deliberately do it. Think it's funny. They laugh about that. Proverbs 14:9. Listen what he says about people that laughs about it. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the right. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. What he calls them? Fools. When you mock sin, when you think sin is cool, you're a fool, he calls it. And as the believers, you kind of don't want to, rub people the wrong way or say it, but that's what we should be calling them, fools. Y'all fool when y'all do that. in Hosea 4:6. If that's what God calls him, why, hey, I mean, it is what it is. Take it up with him. He called you a fool. I'm just quoting what he said. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children. Not only are you bringing sin upon yourself, but you're hurting your children. He says he's going to forget your children. Who wants that? Who wants to take that on? But people do it every day, all day. Why? One more time. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of Elohim. I will also forget thy children. The law. What's the law? The Torah. The Torah. So if us being full of the devil, because we're going back to the Torah, I don't want to forget the law of the Torah. I refuse to. I'll take the ridiculing. I'll take it. I'll take the mental abuse. That's okay. Because he that endures till the end. Verse 19, because that which may be known of Elohim is manifested in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them. In the Strong's, for unrighteousness, is from G94, legal injustice, properly the quality, by implication the act. Moral wrongfulness of character, life or act, iniquity, unjust, unrighteousness, and wrong. Moral. Where's your morals? America has lost morals. You know, they had another statement, you know, about in 1963, if I'm not mistaken, they took in prayer and Bible out of school. The character and morals gone. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and majesty, so that they are without excuses. It's no excuse that we don't know. You walk outside and just look up in the sky and you see eternal power and majesty. He says, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorify him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what sin brings darkness. That's what sins bring, darkness. When they knew, in verse 21 it says, when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful. That's open rebellion. That's what that is, open rebellion. When you refuse to confirm to Yahweh's desire, that leads only to sin and darkness. That's what that's saying right there. And change the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That's what Aaron did. That's what they did. They changed the glory of an uncorruptible Elohim into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and a four-footed beast, that calf, a four-footed beast, and creeping things. After all what he did for them in that 430 years, in that slavery, and keeping them with lights when he did the darkness and all the plagues. They forgot. When they started in the wilderness, oh, we got to go through this. You forgot about us. You forgot about us. And that's all I have. I'm so thankful. So appreciative. You know, I don't want to fall into that state of what the Israelites did and what people is doing today. I don't never, ever want to forget what he's done for me and what he's continuing to do for me. If he does nothing else, he did enough. If what he did just by his sending his only begotten son to die for a wicked nation, a wicked people, so that we can have life at the end, that's enough. And that is my prayer that, you know, no matter what I go through, no matter what trials or tribulations, I know you're going to take care of me, but I don't never want to get into that state of mind to where I'm asking, where you at? Where you at? Why are you not here? I want to serve him for what he already did. Like I said, that's enough. Sending his only son the way I can have that eternal life, that's what else we need. What else we want? What else do we want? I don't want nothing else. And I hope that he shows me that and humbles me that if I start to go in error and think that kind of way, that he gives me a reality check and just, you know, hey, what I done did for you, bring back to my memory all the time. I want to, because I don't want to get that far to where he rejects my children. That's, man, look, I don't, no. I just think he's so good to us. He's so good to us. And every moment that we get to take part in his words and spend time praying with, you know, communicating with him and just spending time with him, I don't want to miss not one opportunity, not one. Saturdays, Thursdays, Sundays, commitment, fully committed. And that's what, you know, he honors commitment. I thank him for that. I thank y'all for coming out tonight and letting me share this. I tell you, just I hope we see the seriousness and how important it is that we went back over these words and how, you know, that not only we see it as ministers going through it and studying, but y'all see it and we apply it to our life. You know, look, he was very successful in doing everything the Father said, very. Even unto death, the grave could not hold him. That's powerful. That's powerful. And we have that same thing. We have that same opportunity when debt comes, you know. It's going to come. It's appointed unto man to die. Because one man sinned, debt entered into the world. There's nothing we can do about it. But to have that hope, that's the key. The belief, not to have unbelief. So thank y'all. Anybody needs prayer? We good? Good. Well, I just want to pray before we leave because I just want to thank him for this opportunity he's given us, you know, to be here and to take part in his word and just for blessing us and keeping us safe every day, every day. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for everything that you do for us day in and day out. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us on a Saturday to come and take part in your word. Lord, you see the people that stepped out and made a commitment that they was going to come tonight, Father, Lord God. I thank you for their commitment, Lord. I thank you so much. You see those that couldn't have made it, Father, Lord God, I ask that your hand of protection just be upon their lives, Lord, and that they just continue to fall in love with you, Father. You're so good to us. I thank you for your word, understanding the words of Jesus, our rabbi, to follow in his footsteps. We just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it, Father, oh God. Lord, I ask you that your hand of protection will be upon us as we leave this place, but never from your presence. We want to always be in your presence. We don't never want to miss an opportunity that we get to spend time with you. It's valuable, so valuable to us. And we just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.